The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to bring you some of the news for the past weekend. What a circus it has been. But let's go ahead and start with the latest story that has been making the rounds here, which is that Hillary Clinton, I know this is going to sound hard to believe, but she's complaining. She is upset about the way that women are forced to have to present themselves in the public eye. So this is Fox News, Martha McCallum, and she's going to bring up this topic. And then you'll hear Hillary Clinton in her own words.
Hillary Clinton says it's not fair that what women have to go through when they jump into the presidential race. Watch this.
How does a woman stand up for herself on the biggest stage in the world without, number one, looking aggressive, maybe a little bit angry? How do you get on this kind of Goldilocks path where you're not too strong and you're not too weak, you're not too aggressive and you're not too passive? This is still a problem for women on the public stage.
No, it's not, Hillary. It's a problem for you on the public stage because you're a giant phony, because you could never reveal your actual personality. See, a normal person can go up there and just act the way that they are. But see, you crazy psychopaths who want to become politicians, you've got to mold and meld your personality into what you think the public wants. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as bananas as she is with her ideas, isn't a phony. At least she comes across as the dim bulb lunatic that she actually is. Take a look at Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard doesn't have to pretend to be somebody else, or at least she doesn't seem to be. She comes across as a very real person. You know, if you have somebody like Mitt Romney, you know, Mitt Romney's thinking the same thing. He's thinking, well, how a man's supposed to be manly? How manly should I be? And he comes across as just a phony politician. But you look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a jerk. But, I mean, at least he's a jerk in real life in front of the microphone or behind closed doors. He's the same guy. What I'm saying is that women, you know, are 52% of the population. Do we have to keep pretending like they're this downtrodden minority? It's so ridiculous. Hillary Clinton lost because nobody likes her, all right? We don't like her policies. We don't like her as a human being. There's just nothing good about her. She's a fake, a fraud, a phony. You see how she screwed Bernie Sanders over, right? And doesn't even care. Just completely remorseless about it. If a man came out and did the same thing that Hillary Clinton has done, nobody would like him either. You know, if he just lied about everything, if he did all these political dirty tricks, and if anything, she's gotten off lightly. I mean, could you imagine if a politician did the same thing that Hillary Clinton did? The FBI would have nailed him to the wall. Instead, the FBI, James Comey comes out and says, well, you know, she didn't really mean to do the things that she did, which is a complete total lie. I mean, she destroyed evidence after it was subpoenaed. Of course she meant to do what she did. You know, she's asked directly, did you wipe the servers? You go, what do you mean, like with a cloth? If that was a man, it'd be over. No, if anything, being a woman has helped out Hillary Clinton, not hurt her. God, she drives me crazy. You know what, though? She is good entertainment, I have to say. I mean, you know, it's like the person you love to hate. I kind of like to hate her. I really do. I think if Hillary Clinton truly disappeared, the entertainment value of the world would plunge tremendously. I mean, look, who is she really annoying at this point right now? I mean, I'm sure she's doing some kind of secret backroom dealings that are hurting many, many people. So, you know, let's not pretend that she's benign. But the Democrats are the ones who truly want her to disappear and go away and just, you know, vanish off the face of the earth. it's the Bernie Sanders of the world that are really upset with Hillary Clinton. I'm having a ball watching her say these things, actually. I'm just glad that I don't, I'm not related to her. Could you imagine being forced to deal with Hillary Clinton under you know, blood connection? You must, you know, associate with her. Oh my goodness. Those are the people to truly feel sorry for. You know, you wake up in the morning and she's telling you to fix something and she just won't let it go, right? She will not stop. You ask her, hey, did you mail out the Christmas cards? She says, yeah, I mailed them out, and she just lost them all. You wake up in the morning, you're looking at Hillary Clinton. You know, your aunt comes over, it's Hillary Clinton, she's pinching your cheeks and stuff like that. Oh my God. But you know, it's all speculation, right? I mean, she probably treats her family really good. Bill's been with her all this time. You know, he could have any lady. I mean, I guess I was going to say he could have any lady, and has. But, you know, he's still in it with her. So maybe there's something to her. I don't know. Maybe she's just fantastic in the sack, right? But, you know, recently she said that she will not be quiet. She's going to keep on giving her opinion, and I'm sure the Democrats are over the moon about that. But someone who is not going to listen to her opinion is Bernie Sanders. And so Bernie Sanders comes out on The View, and they ask him, you know, I'm just going to play the clip and let you listen to it for yourself.
We're hearing about a lot of Democratic candidates who are meeting with Hillary Clinton for advice, though. So people like Amy Klobuchar, do you think you'll do the same?
I suspect not. Hillary has not. You know, she has not called me. Look, we have differences. You know, Hillary has played a very important role in modern American politics.
Yeah. But you're not interested in any advice from her?
I think not. We have, look, we have.
You think not?
Look, you know, I think every Democrat is going to come together. Let me say what I've said before. I hope to be the Democratic nominee and have the support of the whole Democratic Party behind me. If I am not, and somebody else is, I will support that candidate. Because what's most important is that Trump be defeated.
Oh, if you're Hillary Clinton, that has got to hurt. You must be like, damn this guy. I'm going to kick his butt. And I think she's into revenge. You know, I could totally see her getting back at him. Bernie Sanders he's a pariah among the establishment Democrats. They hate him. Last time he ran, they did a news blackout of him. They wouldn't put him on television except to say that he was losing. You know, they ignored him the best that they could. And we hear a lot about him because he's popular with progressives. But, you know, the progressives don't really control the mainstream narrative. So the CNN, MSNBC, you know, all the news channels are not going to treat Sanders favorably. As a matter of fact, on The View, they treat him like a dirty dog. They ask him stupid questions about stupid things to just try to make him look bad. And this is going to play out throughout the entire election cycle. And it's going to be just like it was in 2016. Because I think they're going to bury him. And I think they're going to make it so that Bernie Sanders can't win. And whether they pull out superdelegates or whether they pass new rules or whatever it is, they're going to do the same thing to him that they did to Ron Paul in 2008 and 2012. And they're going to prevent him from winning. And when they do that, his base is going to be livid and Trump's going to win again. You watch. This history repeats itself, right? I think the line is that history doesn't repeat itself, but the lines often rhyme. And I would not be surprised if this played out just like it did in 2016.
Tough question. Many Democrats still say you're a big reason why Hillary lost because of your criticism of her before the general election and your refusal to concede, even when it looked like you wouldn't get the nomination, you wouldn't pull out. How do you answer claims that you splintered the party and put Trump in the White House and, God forbid, you could do it again in 2020?
Well, those criticisms come from our political opponents.
I mean, do you hear that madness? Some Democrats say you ruined everything in 2016. Some Democrats like you, Joy Behar, she's the one who asked the question on The View. My goodness, says that he ruined everything and got Trump elected. And God forbid, she says, God forbid it could happen again in 2020. Unbelievable. How do you have the stones to ask a question like that? You know, I bag on Hillary Clinton, but if Hillary Clinton was in front of me, I'd be kowtowing to her. I'd be on one knee. You know, I'd just be like, oh, whatever you say, please don't hurt me. Right. I would totally plead fealty to her. I'm not a fighter. All right. I'm just not. I know it's a personality defect, but that's the way that it is. I could not go up to somebody who is, you know what? Even if they had no power, I just couldn't go up to another human being in their face and treat them in a way that I know is completely wrong. It's amazing to me. I mean, joking is one thing. But actually being in somebody's, looking somebody in the eye and disrespecting them like that. Bernie Sanders is in it to win it. All right. He is competing to become the president of the United States. Now, I don't want him anywhere near the position. This is not an endorsement. I'm just stating the man's case, which is that he is trying to win. He's going to do everything he can in his power in order to make that happen. Why should he drop out? You know, do you think she would drop out? She didn't. She was in the same position. She didn't drop out. In fact, afterwards, you know, she every time Hillary Clinton talks, she's like, oh, and then I endorsed Obama and everything was hunky dory. No, it wasn't. No, she. And in fact, I think her campaign came up with the name Obama Boys. You know, that the whole conspiracy of Obama not being born in the United States, of being born in Kenya, that was from Hillary Clinton's camp. I remember one of her campaign people admitted it. So Hillary Clinton's the last person to play ball. And Bernie Sanders is expected to drop out. Otherwise, he's a misogynist, I'm sure. Now, another thing they asked Bernie Sanders about that everybody's asking Bernie Sanders about is this sex harassment thing. Now, when Bernie Sanders was traipsing around the country campaigning, apparently, I don't even remember the original story that good, but apparently there was some impropriety in one of his campaign staffing offices somewhere. I don't know. And so there was a complaint. And if I remember, I don't even know if the complaint was even a big deal. I don't even know if anything came out of it. But what ended up happening was the Democrats, the establishment Democrats, are like, Bernie Sanders, you're a Democrat. You know, you're supposed to be against, you know, sexual harassment. Oh, yeah. And when the story came out, it was worded to make it seem like Bernie Sanders had done it. When I first saw the story, I was like, what? How is this possible? And then I look at it as this non-issue, right? So Bernie Sanders now has to go on every show, and he's put together like a committee or something like that in his campaign office to make sure that nothing like this happens again. He has an independent place that somebody can go to if they feel like they're being harassed, that's not connected with a campaign. I mean, he is pulling out all the stops to make sure that if you work on his campaign, nobody's going to wink at you. All right, that's Bernie Sanders is making sure that this time around, that story is not going to have legs. But it doesn't matter. It's the accusation. The story already has legs just because people keep repeating it over and over and over again. And again, it's the same thing with a Ron Paul thing. You know, Ron Paul had some racial things printed in his newsletter, and I think some of them were like really bad. And he said, well, you know, I licensed people to print the newsletter for me, but I was being a congressman. I didn't actually read the newsletter most of the time, although it did have my name on it. And so he got in trouble and he apologized for it and all that. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like 20, 30 years. I don't know how long it's been later on. People are still saying, you're a racist, aren't you, because of these newsletters. Well, same thing with Bernie Sanders now. And so now he's got this story against him and they're going to trot it out every single time that his name comes up. You watch, and they're going to try to tie his name to misogyny, just like they tried to tie his name to racism, and they tried it until you saw actual pictures of him during the civil rights movement, you know, getting handcuffed and protesting on behalf of blacks and things. They just like they tried to pin his name to violence. They said that, you know, there was violence at his rallies until they were unable to produce any evidence that there was any violence at his rallies. I mean, these guys are like peaceniks, right? At one rally, somebody picked up a chair and then he put it back down. And they kept playing that little clip over and over and over again, insinuating that he had thrown the chair at somebody. It's the most ridiculous thing. And again, I don't like Bernie Sanders, but the way they keep trying to smear him, it's mind-blowing. It's amazing that they get away with this stuff. Now, I said that the establishment controls the narrative as far as the mainstream media goes, what we call the mainstream media, CNN, NBC, CBS, and MSNBC. And the progressives would control the narrative online, but YouTube, which is basically the second biggest search engine behind Google, who owns YouTube, if you search anything now, and, you know, I've been trying to look for these clips on YouTube. If you search anything now, all the mainstream channels come up. Because a while back, they ran a story against Google and YouTube saying, hey, guys, your videos are your advertisements are playing over these terrible, you know, right-wing videos. And they went after their sponsors, threatening YouTube's ad revenue. And so YouTube went, oh my God, we can't have this happen. So rather than getting negative press from the mainstream media, they got in bed with them. And so now they're paying millions of dollars to help the mainstream media come up in the search results. And in fact, you know, it's funny because there was a story that just came out showing further evidence of right-wing groups and progressive groups also, far left-wing progressives like Bernie Sanders fans, getting their pages struck down and internal tags so that internally Facebook would actually downgrade things like live streaming videos from right-wing and far left-wing sources. And so you can see how deeply entrenched the establishment. There's a reason they're called the establishment. They really are. But the great thing is, hopefully for the conservatives, is that they will continue to be exposed. The establishment will continue to be exposed. And something that's interesting is that their bias against the right wing is well known, but their bias against the left wing isn't that well known. And so they're going to keep trashing the far leftists over and over again and getting away with it far more often then they'll get away with trashing right-wing sources, I feel. Although they've gotten away with a lot up to this point. But the thing is, the leftists are probably going to end up suffering more in this election cycle. And they're going to be mad. And there's a lot of them. And they are going to retaliate. And like I said before, the end result is that Trump's going to get in. All right, now, speaking of Donald Trump, we got this pure grade A big top circus going on with Michael Cohen. And let's look at the truth here, okay? Why are we doing this? It's because they're trying so hard to prove collusion with Russia. And failing that, they're going to try to get Trump on anything they can. Now, I don't know about Trump's other business dealings, but as far as the Russia thing goes, like I've been telling you since this started, it's a no-go. And they're pinning all their... Now, as a matter of fact, last week, I think I mentioned this, and if I didn't, I really should have. A bipartisan committee in the Senate has found that there is no collusion. Surprise, surprise. So now that is the second, if I remember, I think the... who is the other one? There was another committee a Republican committee found no collusion. And people are like, oh, well, you know, they're Republicans. Of course, they're going to protect Donald Trump. Okay. Well, now this bipartisan committee has found no collusion. All right. And next, you're going to see Mueller is going to find Mueller, whatever his name is. He's not going to find any either. And he's going to get Trump on something else, I'm sure of it. I mean, this is a lot of time and expense. And they'll probably do it in October, right before 2020. They'll wrap it up and they'll find that Trump is guilty of money laundering, or Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice, right? Or he's guilty of something that never would have happened if it weren't for the whole investigation in the first place, right? That's what they'll get him for. Something stupid. But as far as collusion goes, they're not going to find anything. And once again, none other than Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the second biggest cheat in the Democratic Party behind Hillary Clinton, Debbie Wasserman Schultz directly asks Cohen, is there collusion? And this answer is just fantastic.
Based on what you know, would Mr. Trump, or did he, lie about colluding and coordinating with the Russians at any point during the campaign?
So as I stated in my testimony, I wouldn't use the word colluding. Was there something odd about the back and forth praise with President Putin? Yes. But I'm not really sure that I can answer that question in terms of collusion. I was not part of the campaign. I don't know the other conversations that Mr. Trump had with other individuals. There's just so many dots that all seem to lead to the same direction.
And then she mercifully cut him off and asked another insipid question. You know, can you believe it? After all of this time wasted, after all of this money spent, after all of these news stories that got run, I don't know what they promised Cohen. I don't know what they threatened him with. I don't know what they said to him. I don't know the dealings. But, you know, Cohen opened this up, but it went nowhere. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Cohen opened up saying that, you know, whatever I'm doing here, I'm doing for my kids. Now, I heard that it was an ex-Clinton speechwriter, I think, that wrote those opening remarks for him. But I can kind of believe that to be true. And I don't know if that was an excuse or whatever. But it kind of makes sense that, well, you know, I want to see my kids. I want to have some money to pass on to them. I don't want to rot in jail. So whatever I do here, just realize that it was for them. Okay, you know, I could see that. And then he comes out, and even after saying great things about Trump while he was working for him, says, well, now I see the light, and he's a huge liar. You know, he's never spent a single day walking the straight path. You know, he's just calling Trump these terrible names and saying he does these terrible things. And, he was asked a question about did Trump tell you to lie about some topic. And Cohen comes out and he says, well, that's not how he operates. He doesn't tell you directly. So even on that, he couldn't get Trump on anything. You know, if you look at some of the questions, it almost feels like he's still working for Trump, right? And then when asked about this collusion thing, to come up with such a namby-pamby answer of, well, you know, there's no evidence of collusion. I wouldn't use the word collusion. That's what he said. I wouldn't use the word collusion. And yeah, there's no evidence of collusion. But, I mean, one could be very suspicious about it. And then later on, so Vox and other, you know, left-wing news outlets spun this story. And they said that Trump lied, claiming that Cohen said that there was no collusion, when he actually said there's no evidence of collusion. So sorry, you know, for misquoting Cohen there. He just said that he doesn't know of any collusion, right? And then later on, somebody asked Cohen, well, is it possible he colluded with Russia? He goes, yes. Well, yeah, I mean, anything's possible. Is it possible the sun won't come up tomorrow? Yeah, it's possible. And now they're using that line to make it look like, you know, that there's collusion when there isn't. But I'll never get over how the press has deluded themselves this time around. It's really incredible. But, you know, I'm having a ball, and I hope you guys are too. We've got, what, another year of this to go? I know some of you are like, oh my God, I just let it be over already. But I love this stuff. And, you know, we'll keep you posted on what's going on here on the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I am the Ed Man. Thank you for joining me for another week. We'll see you all again next week. Avoid the rain. Have a good one, everyone.